Welcome to the Overwhelm is Optional podcast, where each week we find ways to gently rebel against the nonsense that overwhelm and exhaustion are just the price you pay to have the life you want. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Overwhelm is Optional podcast with me, Heidi Mark. So this week I want to talk about the comfort zone. Because one of the things that drives me absolutely insane is this idea that to have what you want, you have to get out of your comfort zone. And I don't know about you, but as somebody who's never felt that comfortable on this planet, and I don't mean that in some terrible, terrible way at all. I just mean I'm highly sensitive to noise, to the emotional feeling in the room, to light, to all sorts of things, and to the fact that it seems to be taking me most of my life to work out that I'm okay, actually, thank you very much, and I like this and I don't like that, and that's okay. It's taken me a long time to come to terms with some very basic things, and I know I'm not the only one, and that's okay. That's the adventure, right? But this whole idea that you have to get out of your comfort zone in order to have what you want drives me insane, because for me it's not true. The opposite is true for me. If I want to do something courageous, I need to feel comfortable. Why? Because when my nervous system is irritated, I can't think straight and I lose connection to my heart and my courage. I don't feel as grounded. I'm not as in my body. So therefore, I'm not standing in my strength. I'm not standing in my confidence. And I'm saying this as I sit, because I don't actually mean physically standing. I mean being present in, embodying the best of me, the connection to the best of me. And I hate that whole, the best version of you. I want to be the better. It's like, that's another constant striving to be better. I don't mean that. I just mean that in any one time, we are lots of things and we can choose to focus on the bit of us that's not feeling very strong, or we can choose to sit in what we've already created, into what we can just choose to remember how amazing we already are, because we forget that, because our mind will continually tell us and remind us of every danger possible. And our mind doesn't like us to get too comfortable with being okay, because we might do something wrong. Something might go wrong, and it's a risk. And it can feel vulnerable to stand in your confidence, to own your skills, to own your knowledge, to own who you are, and to value yourself. But for me, what I find is when I get out of my head into my body, when I allow my nervous system to reset, that's when I am able to take courageous steps forward in the direction of my dreams. Getting out of my comfort zone makes no sense to me. Getting into my comfort zone, feeling at ease with myself, valuing myself, and on a very basic level, allowing my nervous system to reset. That enables me to think clearly, to see what the next step might be, because I'm connected to my gut, my heart, my body, my intuition, whatever you want to call it. I'm using the whole of my navigation system. I'm moving away from the fear-centered, mind-based living where I get stuck in my head, go round in circles, doubt myself, get caught up in imposter syndrome. And when I get out of that into my body, when I feel my feet on the floor, when I feel connected to the earth, when I feel welcome at home, like this is where I'm supposed to be, which makes logical sense that I should always feel like that, because where else would I be? This is my home. There isn't another planet for me. This is where I'm supposed to be, because this is where I am. I am here because I am. But I don't always feel like I'm in the right place. Sometimes I feel not at ease. That's just who I am. I'm highly sensitive to my surroundings. This is both been really hard, because it's taken me a long time to work out, oh, I'm highly sensitive. That's why I'm more reactive than other people. But it's also a gift, because it enables me to see and feel for my clients and myself and others what they can't see for themselves. It's a deeply intuitive gift, this high sensitivity, as I learn to hone it more and more and more. And particularly as I've learned the Zen way of using the mind, body, heart connection, using all of that to navigate, to feel my way through my life, to use that in my work. Super useful. Particularly as I'm a deep thinker, I can easily get stuck in my head. I'm a voracious collector of information, and I don't mean facts. I don't really retain facts. I've really noticed this with my partner. He'll say, well, of course you know that. Well, I don't know that. Why would I know that? Because it was this big event in this year. I don't care. Like, why would I retain that? I don't know the names of songs, the words to songs, the names of anything. I don't retain facts. I choose not to. I did used to, but I don't care anymore. It doesn't matter. And I choose what I keep in my head now. And I've had to let go of a lot of things in order to stop being stuck in my head. That mind-based, you know, that overvaluing of the mind as this place to store everything, like it's a badge of honor because you know all of this stuff. That's fine for other people. It doesn't work for me. I tend to get stuck in my head, go round in circles, overload my mind, and it completely imbalances me. And then I don't look after myself properly because I'm missing the signals from my body and because I seem to be different than some other people. I mean, we're all individuals. I'm not saying I'm completely different than everyone. I'm just saying tuning into my body is really helpful to me. Really, really helpful. That's what I learned from pushing my body too far until I couldn't continue. That level of burnout, that taught me that. And I can look back and see all the times my body was trying to weigh in on the conversation and would have prevented all of that unhelpful period. Or I don't see it as anything now. I see it neutrally. That period of time when I really struggled with my health and then I burnt out and then I had to recover, that period of time, that taught me the value of tuning in and listening to my body. I need to feel comfortable in order to be at my best, to be my most focused. That's just how I work. How do you work? Does getting out of your comfort zone, is that what you need? Am I talking about the same thing but differently? Possibly. Am I gently rebelling against the whole life is hard, you have to get out of your comfort zone? Definitely, because I'm done with it. I'm done with seeing those messages. Everything you want is outside of your comfort zone. No, everything I want is inside my comfort zone. When I let go of the fear, when I allow myself to be myself, when I wrap myself up in love, when I value myself, when I appreciate myself, when I treat myself as somebody who needs to be taken care of in a particular way. So for me as an introvert, that means not having too much outside meeting with other people. And I love people, but if I do it too much, it drains me. I was talking to another introvert who I didn't think she was an introvert. And we were at a networking meeting. We've met several times. I really like her. And we were talking about this. I was really surprised when she said she was an introvert. And she said after being, she went to some big event and then she was in her pajamas for 3 days. And I was like, yes, yes, not just me. Woohoo. I also require really good food. I don't do well on processed food. I don't do well on a vegetarian diet. I literally couldn't survive on a vegan diet. And that doesn't mean that I'm some terrible person, despite all of the nonsense going on at the moment. Production of food is far more complex than this black and white, vegan good, everybody else evil. It's just unhelpful, uncompassionate towards all of us, ourselves, animals, plants, the earth, soil, water, air. It's just an unhelpful way to think when it becomes black and white and angry. I've learnt in my 54 years what I need to eat to feel well. And I feel deeply connected. I come from farming families. I've always lived in the countryside, apart from brief periods in cities. And then I end up gathering animals and plants and escaping to the hills whenever I can. I know what I need to feel well. I know what I need to feel grounded. I know what I need to nourish myself. It's taken me a long time to work out that that was even worth working out. I spent a long time searching, Googling, reading information, using my mind to work this out. And although I learned a lot, I really enjoyed geeking out on nutrition and exercise and being me. I was always looking for the shortcut, the easiest way. What's the minimum amount of exercise to have the maximum impact? What's the highest quality food in order to have the biggest impact? You know, all of this stuff. And that is obviously coming to my work now with the 1 minute mark. What's the smallest audio to have the biggest impact? I'm always looking for the tiny, huge, life-changing practice that will help me, that will help my clients. Just have something that fits into your life, that suits you. It's taken me a long time to work out what suits me, and it only came together when I stopped just using my mind. And when I stopped, well, by that time, I'd broken myself so much that I couldn't push out of my comfort zone anymore because I was just done. I just couldn't even get out of bed and lie on a yoga mat. So what works for you matters, doesn't it? You could be similar to me, you could be different than me, but if it resonates to you, this with you, this idea that actually nourishing yourself, loving yourself, allowing comfort makes things work and come together for you, then that's it. My job is done today because I can't give you permission. But if you need permission, I'm taking it for myself, permission to get into my comfort zone. And not just so that I can do courageous things, but because I choose to live with ease. I choose to find the easier way. I choose to enjoy my life. I choose to play. I choose to turn life from a struggle with a race to the finish line as if there's some medal for getting there faster, which obviously there isn't, because we all die. I choose to move it from there to being an adventure where I get to play, where I get to discover what suits me, and I get to change my mind. I get to, grow into myself. Not a better version of myself. I don't get to be better. I get to grow into myself. I get to love and accept more and more of myself, to be able to face more and more of myself, to reveal more and more of myself, to be more and more of myself, to take up more space physically. I don't mean physically as in I'm going to eat like 20 million Easter eggs and get wider. I mean, you know, when you walk into a room and you shrink, like you can physically take up more space by, I wish I could do this on Zoom. I suppose I could. No, I can't do this on Zoom. Even if I was videoing this on Zoom, you wouldn't be able to see what I'm doing. This standing tall, but with ease, this taking up your space, this feeling at home in your life. Because it's your life. You get to make it comfortable for you. You get to make yourself feel at home. Now, I suppose the danger, what your mind and my mind are likely to do is go, oh, but if you get in your comfort zone, you'll stagnate and then you'll waste your life and then terrible things will happen and you'll just get really unhealthy. Really? Is that true for you? Only you know. I don't know. I know for me that if I go too long without moving, I feel rubbish. I feel bleh and I start aching and then I get weird feelings in my body that stop me sleeping because my body just wants to move. So if you move from mind-based living to mind, heart, body-based living, which is what the Gentle Rebellion is all about, then you that's not going to happen because bodies want to move. Bodies want to be fed really nourishing food. Bodies want to have good things to drink and look at beautiful things. That's how bodies work. They naturally rebalance. They're just magical. they feel better when you breathe deeply of fresh air. So I don't know, only you know, but for me, I know that when I live, when I get out of my head into my body and I really listen, there's no way I'm going to sit around eating rubbish. And my heart wants to live fully. I want to live wholeheartedly. I want to love life fiercely, with courage, with joy, with fun, with laughter. So sitting around stagnating, it's never happened to me. I've, funnily enough, I remember a friend saying to me years ago, when I said I was finishing my degree with the OU and had a puppy and some kittens and the heating was being put in, all while being a single working mum. And I said, oh, there's all this stuff going on. She went, yeah, you just create chaos. And that really struck me at the time. I didn't realise it. And that's why it's useful, isn't it, to have really good friends who reflect things back to you. That, yeah, I was creating the chaos because I wanted a lot. And so I just said yes to everything. Now, would I do it that way again? No, because it wasn't a good time to get the puppy. I think I would have kept the rest. Except that when the heating went in, the mother cat tried to move the kittens because the cat was, I think she was in the airing cupboard and then she was on the floor of the bathroom so they could have a litter tray. And then they had to go into the bathroom to put the boiler in there or something. And so I said, well, when you need to get in there, I'll move her. But she had 10 kittens. Bless her, Daisy. She loved being a mum. Oh, my goodness. She was so happy. I've got photos of her and she died a few years ago, but she absolutely loved. She was an awesome cat. She just looked so satisfied. You know that, like, deep satisfaction of motherhood. It's just there displayed on her face as a cat. Yeah, her little cat face did manage to display all of that to me in a moment. Anyway, she had 10 kittens. She's very, very happy. But obviously, the workmen were disturbing her. So then she'd try and move all of these kittens. And you can only move one at a time in your mouth as a mother cat. So then I'd find these little kittens on the floor. Oh, my goodness. They were so cute. It was an interesting couple of days having the heating put in. Everything was fine. Happy kittens. But, yeah, it was quite amusing. So possibly I could have done things in a different order and taken on less at once, but that's how I lived my adventure then in my 20s. Now, I don't know what I would do. Would I do it? No, I think now I just do things differently. I think I've got older, so I don't see it as such an emergency, which is interesting, isn't it? You'd think I'd have more of a sense of urgency because I could say, well, I've only got half my life left and I should hurry up. I don't feel like that now. I feel like I can expand time by leaning back into it and seeing time as plentiful, because how we look at things is how they are. Is that the way? No, what was it? How you look at the world. No, you don't see the world as it is. You see it as you are, which is kind of related because how we look at things does determine the quality of them. So when we look at time as expandable and plentiful, it changes our relationship with time. And we move, I find personally, I move from that, got to get this done, got to get this done, got to get this done, which is overloading and pressured into... And somehow everything got done. And magically, everything important got done. Because do you know what? Everything important always does get done. Whether you go at it with a fierceness and a lot of discomfort, or whether you calmly decide what's most important here, what would be most helpful, what would make things easier, and then trust. There's got to be some trust. Because we cannot control the world. I mean, there are people who look like they might be trying to now, and I don't think it's going to work out very well for them. We want to control the world when we're scared, when we're uncomfortable. So I just find it really, really interesting that there's this whole get out of your comfort zone to do whatever, you know, to achieve whatever it is you want to achieve. I get that for some people. I can imagine that works for some people. I've heard it and it's repeated enough times that there must be something about it that resonates. But for me, it's not true. That's just the way it is. Or rather, it's just the way I am. And as I am learning to value myself more and more, to accept myself more and more. I choose to rebel against needing to get out of my comfort zone in order to achieve. I choose to get into my comfort zone in order to feel good, because that's my priority. Everything we do is in order to feel good and in order to do whatever thing that scares me next. It doesn't help for me to be scared. It doesn't work. I'm working with myself, not against myself. At least that's the plan. That's the commitment. That's the gentle rebellion. It's a practice. I often get it wrong and I often have to recommit. And that's life. The gentle rebellion is a practice. I choose to commit to myself first. I choose to live my life my way. I choose to uncover, to discover what that means for me. And today I'm sharing with you that musing from here at the Gentle Rebellion, that being in my comfort zone strengthens me and gives me the courage I need, and it also allows me to love and enjoy my life. I'd love to know what you think about this. Do get in touch, heidi@heidimark.co.uk, or message me on one of the social media platforms, whatever suits you. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for being part of this podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please do take a little moment of your time to share it, like it, etc., to help other people find it. And if you'd like to know more about my work, please go to www.heidimark.co.uk.